Welcome to Smooches and Stabs with Pepper Basham and Jamie Jill Wright. Studying history, how history should have happened, and creating all kinds of fictional conspiracy theories.
It is a special bookish edition here at Smooches and Stabs.
We even kind of match a little.
We do. We did not coordinate to look red, but it is Christmas coming up. So, and I mean, red is also my favorite color.
Oh, nice. Green is mine. So we're both. Oh, I mean, how
that's
can
almost nauseating.
I think it's lovely.
Of course, you do. Well, first of all, I need to entice anybody who just ran into this podcast today and decided to listen and go, I thought they were going to talk about crime and mystery and romanticism. And we are actually going to talk bookish stuff today. But then we also have a massively huge announcement at the end. So you're going to want to make sure that you listen all the way through. You've probably seen a little bit of the buzz around on the internet that we've been making about a big announcement. We are going to reveal it here for the first time at the end of the show.
Right. Now, you do need to know that we are still sticking with the Smooches and Stabs theme, though, because we're talking about books that are romantic or not as romantic, and they're ours, and we're going to be interviewing each other. So, so we're still sticking with two very different approaches to fictional writing and story creation.
Truth.
But it's not our usual take a historical event and try to doctor it up a little bit.
Although I could doctor up your book and you could doctor up mine.
I could, but I need to read it first.
Ditto.
Right, so I can doctor it. It's hard to doctor.
It's not great to be good friends with a fellow author who does not expect me to read their books.
Exactly. I don't.
You know, we might really be like sabotaging ourselves, because here we are like talking each other up and we don't read each other's books really a whole lot. And so we could be awful writers and the other person just doesn't know.
No, I know you're not an awful writer because I have read your books.
I have read some of your books.
Right. So yes, unless you've taken a nosedive in your skill set over the past few years.
I don't know. Maybe we should go over to Goodreads and check out
Christie Award finalist, Miss Jamie Jo Wright, for how many years in a row?
I don't know, enough to get me fired if I was an NFL coach. You know, you final for the Super Bowl how many times and you lose it how many times, then you just get fired in the NFL. So let's just face it.
Maybe I'm glad I've just finaled once and not one. Maybe I should be glad about that. So I can't imagine finaling again, because I write funny books and funny books don't usually final in the Christie's.
Which is, they should have like a comedic category, not to get off topic, but that's what we do best. I'm going to suggest that.
We do.
Come on, UCPA. We need a comedic category for the Christie Awards. Say that fast five times. Comedic category for the Christie
Awards. It sounds comedic.
Okay. Let's launch. Why are we talking about our books today? Why is this so important? Yeah. And what did we find in common? Pepper, do answer.
Ooh, okay. So today we are going to be talking, we both had releases within a couple of months of each other.
Correct.
And we didn't realize that both of our releases take place in a theater. It's like, what? Where were we living?
Right. I know. There is a little bit of an ESP connection going on between us, I think, and we just don't realize it.
I know,
we haven't recognized it.
That's a scary thought if you go deeper about.
I don't want to go deeper. I'm not going deeper. We're going to leave it there and move along.
We'll have to talk about what our next books are doing to see if there's any subliminal.
Just tell me you don't have any butterflies coming up in one of your books.
I don't.
Okay.
No butterflies. I have a cousin whose name is Butterfly, but no.
Oh, well, that's another story, I'm sure. But
yes,
do continue. Theaters.
Yes. So we thought. We thought that since we have two books that just came out, Positively Penelope came out in August, mm-hmm. and The Lost Boys of the Barlow Theater came out in
October.
So we were really close together. We thought we would have a little video about asking each other questions about our books because they're similar places.
And yet neither of us have read the other ones.
No, and they're probably nothing alike.
Our questions are really going to be completely way off the mark, probably, as it relates to the stories.
I don't know. Mine's more of that if you could kind of question thing. That's more of my bent, I think. I didn't write anything down, but we don't usually write anything down.
So. It's all ad lib, baby. I mean, it's going to come off the top of my head and probably, lose us listeners, but let's go.
Hey, they've stuck around this long when we've been so inconsistent. There's some
thank you to the two people who listen to this podcast in the car on their date night. Our two listeners.
We are doing it for you. Share with the other friends at church.
Right. So we can have three listeners. That'd be great. All right, Pepper.
Okay.
Tell me about your book. What's it about?
I haven't read it. Penelope.
Was I supposed to have a copy of my book?
I don't know. I didn't have a copy of your book or I would have lifted yours up. So this is clearly on some kind of stage because we got the curtains. We've got the mess.
That's true.
This is Positively Penelope. It's the second book in the Skamar series. And it is a romantic comedy, y'all. I mean, really, all the comedy, all the romance, the meet cute and everything, which Jamie would just love. If she really can embrace that deeper romantic part of that small part that's in her pinky toe.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Okay.
She broke. The pinky toe she broke, so now it's gone. Penelope has been sent to Skamar to help resurrect a dying theater. Death. There you go. See, I put a little death in there for you, Jamie. And so
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. And so she is one of these characters who's just very joyful. And I wrote, it's really fun because I got to write her because I always have there's always the joyful character as a secondary character, not a primary character. They're usually the sidekick character.
This is true.
And my goal was to write a character where she could be the main character.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because I'm literally getting freaked out right now.
No, you're not.
I had chills go down my spine.
Kidders at Greta.
Because when I wrote The Lost Boys at Theater, I literally told the person I was brainstorming with that I am going to create a sidekick character who finally gets the limelight.
No, you didn't.
I did. She even describes herself like that. She's like, she's the happy little sidekick nerdy character. Who's always in the shadow of the gorgeous, glamorous one who gets the guy. This is creepy.
Yes, it is creepy. Penelope describes herself that way as the side character who's the joyful one, who just is always there for the comic relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, that's my how goodness.
So, Kit is there for not so much the comic relief. She's more the nerdy side character, mm-hmm. but it's the same thing. She's the side character that's there to make sure everything goes well for Madison.
Okay. So if you do Grumpy Sunshine, we're going to have a moment. Anyway.
I did do Grumpy Sunshine.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm going to have to read this book.
Evan is remarkably cranky.
You have forced me to read it now so I can...
I'm gathering Positively Penelope now because I'm freaking out.
Okay, well, we know they're very different. So anyway, Penelope goes in to help resurrect this dying theater. She meets...
The theater in my book is dying too. Just want to throw that out there.
It also has dead things that are trying to come back to life. So, there's a little different...
That's where the similarities stop.
That's where, except they do try to resurrect the theater. Oh. And so, was dead is coming back to life. There's a lot of, actually, there's one of the themes underneath it is talking about grief and joy, the mixture between the two.
Okay.
And so it's basically this fun, lots of musical references, lots of banter.
Mm-hmm. And
see if she's going to be able to succeed in not only resurrecting the theater, but finding the happily ever after too.
And Mr. Grumpy Sunshine, what's his name?
His name is Matthias.
Matthias. Okay. Is he Scottish too? Because I know the first one was Scottish.
From Skamar, so he's part of that same culture.
So basically, if we listen to the audiobook, we're going to have another Scottish guy on there.
We are totally in his voice.
That's really all I cared about.
Yes. His voice is fantastic. Christopher does a fantastic job of bringing Matthias's voice.
I think I'll listen to Positively Penelope when I go to bed at night. It's a little inspiring to just listen to a Scottish man talk me to sleep.
I think it's a good choice. Yes.
Love it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Tell us what you're
The Lost Boys at Barlow Theater is not quite as happy as yours.
And it's a dual timeline, in case you don't know that Jamie writes dual timeline.
It's dual timeline. So what that means is half the book takes place in present day. The other half takes place, I think I put it in 1915. But it is in the Gilded Age.
That only stood out because that's the year the sinking of the Lusitania happened.
So. Yes, which I actually refer to in the book.
No, so 1915 is
I do refer to the sinking of Lusitania. I can't pronounce it. But anyway, okay. So there's two main heroines. We have Kit in the present, who we already talked about is the sidekick that never gets the front and center. And then we have Greta, who is in the past. It's kind of hard to explain. Like, my book is creepy. So present day, it starts out where they're basically, it's an old theater. It's based off of a real theater that I grew up going to as a child. And it's
located. And you guys should check out her Facebook page, or because she puts pictures from inside the theater where she's toured and stuff.
Yes. And I actually have a interview that I did with the theater director there on the history of the theater. It's crazy. It's associated with the Ringling Brothers Circus. It was built by Al Ringling. It was meant to be an imitation of a French theater. And so the outside is very dear, and the inside is like, I mean, you've got poutine on the ceilings and domed arches, and everything's embossed in gold and red velvet. Yeah. I mean, it's everything Phantom of the Opera that you would imagine.
The gilded, that very gilded.
Everything is gilded. And so anyway, the story goes, long story goes, or short story, because I don't want to make it a long story. There's two things that happened back in Greta's time period. One, she goes to the theater with her ritzy friends that she shouldn't really be friends with because she's poor, but they are the nice rich people. We actually have nice rich people in this book.
I like that. That's
I know. Great. I wanted to break some stereotypes. Anyway, so she goes with Oscar and Eleanor, her two childhood friends, because her mom used to work in their home. So when they were little, they used to play together. And they invite her to go to the theater with them. And while she's at the theater, she looks up into one of the boxed seats, and there's a woman in white who's holding an infant, and the infant is in her arms until she tosses it over the balcony. But here's the kicker. So Greta screams, causes a commotion, screams about the baby, blah, 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 blah. Later on that night, the police come to her door to interview her further, because they're very skeptical, because she caused a massive commotion. She's completely ruined the profits for the Barlow Theater, and there was no baby, and there was no woman in white.
Dun, dun, dun.
So her little brother, Leo, who's like 14, they're orphaned, and it all hinges on Greta for their survival. Oh, they're going to end up in the poorhouse. So Leo's like, I'm going to make sure that people don't discredit my sister, and he and his friends sneak over to Barlow Theater, at which point...
You forgot to tell the part about the older brother, though, because that's a big part.
Oh, the older brother's he was killed during the construction because he helped with the construction. So now Greta's left with four younger brothers, one of which is Leo, who's trying to be the man of the house. He tries to go save face for his sister, who's now potentially facing charges and a lawsuit for the profits lost from the Barlows, which will absolutely demolish them. And then Leo and his friends disappear inside the theater, never to be seen again, and they become the Lost Boys of Barlow Theater. Fast forward to present day, we now have Kit and her friend Madison. Madison's trying to save this illustrious theater from her own grandfather, who's the big, you know, business guru in town that has other ideas for that. And so Madison invites this ghost hunting show that's really popular. It's called The Psychic and the Skeptic.
I love that idea.
It's got a woman who's a medium, supposedly, and it's got a psychic. Oh, yeah. So she's the psychic. And then it's got a skeptic, which is Evan, and he's Mr. Grumpy Sunshine. And he doesn't believe anything about ghosts. And so he does everything he can to discredit the psychic on the show. So they're going to do this ghost tour of the Barlow Theater. And while they're in the tour, underneath the stage, Madison vanishes.
Now, and again, this is to raise money to save the theater, right? Madison's idea?
That's Madison's. Well, it's not so much to raise money, but her idea is to get so much promotion visibility. Around the theater, yeah. Visibility through the show, that people would be irritated and offended if her grandfather were to rip it down. But now she has a major problem because she's gone missing. And so Kit feels responsible to carry on Madison's mission, but also find out where her best friend is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the psychic is dredging up all this stuff from the past about a woman in white and an infant and lost boys. And she's seeing lost boys and she's hearing them in the walls. And so Kit's having to find out what happened back in the day of Greta, et cetera, et cetera. And it just becomes this mishmash of a ghost hunt. Or is it? What really happened?
Yeah, usually, which is one of the things that you are, I mean, I don't want to be inside your head because I would be terrified.
Well, I would be terrified inside yours. Let's just be honest.
Okay. This is true.
For different reason.
Yeah. But I love how your brain works story-wise because it goes in directions that are very unexpected and you make connections that are very unexpected. And the creativity is really brilliant.
Well, I will say this. Because I write for the inspirational market, every ghost, medium, vision, etc., has to have an explanation. And I will say it would be so much easier to actually write a real ghost story because I actually have to have ghosts in my books. And then I have to figure out why there's ghosts in my books without them actually being a ghost. And it's really hard.
So the Juliet Code came out December 1st.
Right.
And I have a Pepper's ghost in there that they think is a real ghost. That was fun. And the fact that it's named a Pepper's ghost just made my day.
That is fun. But, yeah.
Yeah. But that was interesting to get to do research on that part. Mm-hmm. That was a fake ghost.
Yeah. It's really fun. But so that was the theater. And honestly, I will say this, that the story of the woman in white and the baby that fell off the balcony and the lost boys going into the theater and never coming out is based on true legend around our local theater. So those are actual ghost stories that are told today. And some people in my community firmly believe they have seen the woman in white. And there are even, because there's constantly theater programs and stuff taking place there. And there are some people who will not put their in-ear monitors in until just before the show starts, because they say you can hear the woman crying and the infant crying.
Oh, ooh.
And it's really supposedly creepy. I myself have never heard it or seen it, of which I'm a little disappointed.
I would say that would be a disappointment.
It is. Mm-hmm. I've gone into the theater when it's dark and I've gone under the stage and I've looked into some of the dark areas and it's just lots of spiders.
Yeah. They might be just as creepy as a ghost.
I think they're creepier, frankly. I'd rather say, hi, Mr. Ghost.
Yes, right.
I would. But anyway, okay, so let me ask you a question, Pepper.
Okay.
Positively, right. Penelope.
All right.
So this is just a normal question.
Okay, normal question.
Why the theater? The theater.
Welcome to the theater. So I live in a house of theatrical people.
Really?
Lots of creatives. Yeah. I know you're shocked.
I know.
Now, I hear there's drama at your house sometimes too, but for a different reason. I have that kind too here, but I have two daughters who have been in musical theater for years. Phoebe just found out that she's cast as the witch from Into the Woods, and she is so excited.
Best part ever.
I know.
That's she's like the mishmash part of you and me.
Yes, it is. It is.
It really is. You can tell Phoebe that I'm really, really proud of her.
Tell her that. So there's been this constant musical theater. I enjoyed musical theater when I was in school, though I never got to spend a lot of time there because we just didn't have transportation for me to do all the practices, but I would help in the background. So that was really fun.
Right.
And so I, because I started Penelope in book one, you get to meet her in book one with Izzy. I already knew she was all this musical theater stuff. She was into acting and things like that. And so it made sense. Well, what can I do with Penelope to show, highlight her strengths, highlight what she's choosing to do, because she's going into marketing with a minor in theater.
Okay.
And this is very fantastic. Practical. yeah, match to put her in the theater. How about you? Why did you? Well, yours makes sense because you have a local theater.
Well, I was going to say, I think I kind of explained that because, yeah, it's local, it's historical, it's got ghost stories attached to it. What more do you need?
How can you not use that? And you can do the research in person.
Oh, that, yes. And that was super fun.
Oh, yeah. So whenever I wrote Hope Between the Pages and it was at Biltmore, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the research.
Well, I think you go to Biltmore like once a week, don't you? At least that's what your social media seems to imply.
I go about twice a month. Yeah.
It's more than that.
Well,
admit it.
I take pictures to last a while.
What Biltmore doesn't know is that Pepper actually lives there. She just hides in the bathroom stalls and then at night she comes out.
I'm looking for the ghost of Biltmore that they say is in there.
You are the ghost of Biltmore.
Probably so. Probably.
Right. Okay.
I'll have to think of a good story for me. Anyway, question for you.
Okay.
If you could choose a favorite theatrical production, then usually stage production, I was going to say musical, but I want to leave it open to you if you just want to do a play. Mm-hmm. What would you choose as one of your favorites?
That I've seen?
That you've seen, musical or play?
Well, I was in a Christmas pageant when I was 6, and I thought it was to die for. That's so I did have a solo part, but I sound extremely self impressed if I bring that up as my favorite. So no, that was not the favorite. You know, here's a really bad admission. I think I've seen 2 in my entire life, and they were both high school.
So musicals. Performed on a stage. Do you remember?
One was 7 Brides for 7 Brothers, and the other one was Beauty and the Beast.
Well, at least you got really good ones.
I got good ones. And the fact of the matter is, it's not for lack of opportunity. Because like I said, this theater is local. I am just not a huge theater person.
Which is interesting that you write about it, but you really just wrote about it because of the ghosts.
I'm a huge ghost person.
Yes, right. That's really.
Right. But I will say, of the two that I've seen it live, performed by amazingly talented high schoolers.
That's awesome.
My favorite was 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. Because... I do absolutely love that movie.
Yes, yes.
And I watched it a lot as a kid. So that was one when I saw they were doing it, I'm like, oh, I don't care if they're like 12-year-olds running across the stage. And they did a really great job of it.
Okay, so if we were going to do it on cinematic, so you could choose a movie that's a musical, what would be
I've seen Les Mis and I've seen Phantom of the Opera. And I would have to say I'm a Phantom of the Opera person.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark, it's gritty, it's obsessive. Dude's a sociopath. Les Mis was like,
it's the stereotype.
It is so stereotype. It's sad, but Les Mis was nice. I mean, it was nice. It was long, and it just kept going and going and going.
It did. It does.
Mm-hmm. And going and going.
More people die.
But you should like that. And they shave their heads because they have lice or whatever. I don't know. Not a very romantic movie to me. I liked Phantom of the Opera.
Yes. Well, it does have romance. Yeah, it has a romance and obsession, which you know.
Well, see, that's the type of romance I like. I told somebody the other day that if I ever get abducted, I will seriously suffer from Stockholm Syndrome because I will completely empathize with the villain. I will psychologically and criminally profile this person. And then at the end, I will explain to you all the reasons why he was potty trained too soon, which caused him to do this to me. Therefore, give him a break.
That's hilarious. They may just send you back really fast because you get so curious asking questions.
Oh, they probably know. I'll probably be like, hey, can I make you coffee before you kill me? Because I really like to die with a cup of coffee in my hand. So much cooler. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you were stuck in a theater at night and the doors were locked, and you knew that there were ghosts in the theater.
Quote ghosts or ghosts?
Let's just pretend that they're real.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just, for the sake of this hypothetical, we believe in ghosts, and ghosts are very real.
Okay, all right.
All right, and you are stuck in an old ancient theater in the middle of the night. You cannot get out. Do you embrace the concept? Do you hide under a folding chair? Like, what's your response to spending a night in a haunted theater?
I would embrace it. I mean, what else do you do? What else do you do? I mean, I don't want to be.
Will find a place to hide.
Well, I don't want to be a coward. And no. Besides the fact, okay, this is going to go a little theologically, but if I'm truly believe what I believe as a Christian, they can't hurt me.
That's true.
So I'm not going to be excited about it because I'll be terrified. Just the idea of it is like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But there's also that little bit in me that I think gets along with that little side of you or that big side of you where I'd be curious. Like, okay.
I just had the best visual of you. Here's Pepper Basham embracing the concept. She's stuck in a haunted theater and the cold, icy feeling of fingertips trace along her back. And she realizes she's not alone. So she spins around, faces the ghost head on and says, "Let me give you a hug."
Or
that's you embracing.
Yes, me embracing. Uh-huh. Or like I did in my junior year of high school, I wrote my first fairly long novel, which was about a girl falling in love with a ghost.
Oh, why can't you write stuff like that and get it published?
Yeah, right.
I would read that.
And it has
come on, Thomas Nelson.
Oh, right. That's the ones they want. From me, of all people.
Come on, Barber Publishing.
I was highly impressed by the ghost, the Canterville ghost book and story. So that was that public.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is good.
It's my turn.
Oh, okay.
All right. Of your main characters, which one would most likely be cast in Beauty and the Beast?
There's a lot of silence there right now. Which one would most likely be cast of my characters?
You can pick the part. The part that they would be cast as. Which of your four leads would most likely be cast in the musical Beauty and the Beast? And what part?
Well, I would have to say Greta would probably be Belle.
Oh, that's great. Why?
Because Greta is severely loyal to her family, like Belle is to her father, to the point that she will sacrifice herself for them. And she's more bookish, not that she's a reader and there's lots of books in the story, but she's that kind of timid, demure. Yeah. She's not feisty. She's not on some kick to be a strong woman. She's kind of like, oh, this sucks. I have to be a strong woman.
That's more strong.
Her mantra.
Yeah.
So I would say Greta would probably be
better. I love that answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can think of a couple others. Like I know who would be, who's the clock, the little clock?
Hogsworth.
I know who would be Hogsworth too. There's a sub character named Tom. He would be Hogsworth. But anyway, that's beside the point. Okay, my question for you, when it comes to the theater, what novel have you read that you think should be turned into a Broadway show?
They probably all have been.
Well, my novels haven't been.
Oh, of my novels, not of general.
Well, any novel. I'm just being facetious because you said, oh, they probably all have been. And I'm like, well, no, because mine haven't been. And
No, I mean, all of my favorite novels probably have, classics wise.
Okay. Well, not necessarily classic. I'm thinking more of a contemporary, something that wouldn't have necessarily been optioned for a Broadway show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, let me think. Frankenstein's Become a Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dracula's a musical. Mm-hmm. And it has fantastic songs.
Ooh, I need to check that out.
It is amazing songs and very, of course, sad. I wonder if Anne of Green Gables has ever been turned into a musical. I don't think so. That would be fun because it could have a lot of comedy in it.
Anne of Green Gables, the musical. Let me check.
I don't know.
I'm typing it
of,
in the
of my novels, which one would I like to see as a Broadway musical? Maybe
there is an Anne of Green Gables, the musical.
Oh, is there? Oh, funny.
But anyway, we'll go with that. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good answer.
Of mine?
Yes, of yours. Which one of yours then?
I think that it could be a Freddie and Grace book, probably the Mistletoe Countess, and you could put some Christmas stuff in there. That would be a fun musical because I could see Grace singing and Freddie being like, what on earth is happening? Kind of like in Enchanted, where she's
yeah,
doing
that's actually what was popping in my mind yeah. was Enchanted.
Yeah,
she's also got red hair in Enchanted.
She does. She does. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And their personalities have the similar.
Yeah, happy. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Next question. These okay. are, you know, I don't have any, they're all pulling from my head.
Okay.
Of the characters, Greta and Kit, mm-hmm. which one would be most likely to fall in love with Captain Von Trapp?
That is a really random question. So we have an Austrian loyalist set in World War II paired up with.
I mean, I'm thinking the Sound of Music musical Captain Von Trapp, not the right. historical Captain Von Trapp.
Well, yeah, because the musical one was way hotter. Okay.
It's true.
It's true. I've seen pictures of the real
yeah,
one.
Me too.
I mean, Christopher Plummer, hello, massive crush when I was six.
I mean, lifelong. I mean, he oh. stayed pretty gentlemanly
is
looking.
Is he dead now?
He is, yes, oh. but not too long ago.
Let's have a moment of silence. Okay, now, okay. Christopher Plummer. No. I was going to say Professor Von Trapp, but I just went into Hogwarts. Okay. Captain Von Trapp with one of my characters. Probably Greta again.
Historically would fit better.
Well, yeah. But her personality, I think, would fit better. I don't know that Kit's going to be a great match for anybody. Like, she has her, like, her pets are ants. She has an ant farm that she carries with her. So there's some oddities about Kit.
Well, that, and you don't think Maria has some oddities with Captain Von Trapp?
Well, let's Maria's were endearing. Kit is just weird.
Okay, got you. There's a difference. It's kind of like that quote from One Runaway Bride when she and her best friend are talking. You're so elegant and everything. I'm just weird.
Yeah. Precisely. Precisely. Okay, so let's do one more question each so we don't make this into a 3-hour episode.
Yes, gotcha.
Okay, so here's a big question for you. It's really deep. If you were going to cast the two main characters in your book,
okay,
who would they be and why?
I don't know about the guy one. The girl one, I would either cast Penelope as Amy Adams or as the actress who plays on the Confessions of a Shopaholic, Isla, I don't know her last name.
Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Yeah, I think either one of those could really play Penelope's part well. It would have to be Amy Adams as a younger Amy Adams, but definitely.
Isla Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. One of those. As far as Matt, well, his eyes are compared to Chris Pine, which would never be a bad thing.
No,
it'd have to be a younger Chris Pine too, but
yeah. How old is Chris Pine now?
I don't know. You can look him up and see what his birthday is. Sometimes I get surprised at how close some of these actors' ages are to ours.
I know, it's creepy. He's 43. I know, like, he was born in 1980. He was born on August 26th, and my birthday is August 24th.
No, same year?
No, I'm older.
Not by much, though.
No,
right?
Not by much. He was born in 1980. I'm still a 70s girl.
Me too.
But yeah, he's older than I thought he was. But I guess that's what happens when you live in Hollywood and have.
I tell you what, though, he has aged beautifully.
He actually does look better now than he did when he was younger. Anyway, okay, so are we casting Chris Pine then as Matt?
Yeah, let's cast Chris Pine. That would work great, especially you have to think about Chris Pine with his glasses on, like from the Diaries. What is it? Princess Diaries movies.
Oh my God, he was in the Princess Diaries. He was
the second one.
He was a young guy there. Just a baby.
And he looks great in glasses. Oh my God.
Lots of guys in Hollywood look great in glasses.
Yep. We just watched the Dungeons and Dragons movie as a family. But it was so funny.
It was so good. We finished it and I looked at my husband and I said, I'm sorry, but is this the new generation's Princess Bride?
Oh, I wonder. There was that vibe to it.
There was definitely not quite. There wasn't quite as
it's not
many
the classic
one-liners. No, it would never replace it. But Princess it definitely Bride. Had Princess Bride.
Yeah, because it kept light. There was a lot of of the lightness. Mm-hmm. That I was glad for the lightness because I was afraid it might go dark. And yes. I'm glad they kept that. You know, the cast of characters were all unique. They kept lightness.
In fact, my husband, who used to do D&D a lot, which is really weird if you know my husband, you're like, what? You did D&D? But anyway, in his younger years, he did a lot of D&D. And he said he had to disassociate the movie from Dungeons & Dragons because it wasn't at all what he would have envisioned Dungeons & Dragons. So once he said, once he disassociated it from the actual game, then he really enjoyed it.
That's how some of us who are Jane Austen enthusiasts. Yes. Have to do for the movies, certain movies, especially more modernized versions.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay.
Last question.
Oh, let's see. What do I want to ask? If you could play in a Broadway show,
Dancing across the stage.
What show would it be, and what person, what character would you be?
Dance of the Hippopotamus. That would be the lead.
Even modern version.
Oh, okay. Broadway play.
Or musical.
I would probably play, and I can't remember her name, but the Green Witch in Wicked.
Oh, Elphaba.
Thank you.
Yay!
That's who I would play.
Oh, you would be great at that part.
I would embrace every nuance of that character.
And you could paint your whole face green.
Yes. Either that, and it wouldn't really work because I'm a female, but I think it would be really cool to play. Oh, shoot. I can't remember what it's called. I want to say Edward Scissorhands, and that's not what it is. It's the barber who's a killer. And
Barber of Seville. See, I thought you would say that one. Yeah. The Barber of Seville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be cool, too, because it's more.
I mentioned that one in Positively Penelope.
Do you?
Yeah, it was Luke's favorite musical.
Oh, see, I like Luke. I'm going to have to read this. This is good. And Luke is the one that's coming out, right? Loyally Luke?
Yeah.
Yep. I have that one, so I can just start reading it now because I'm privileged.
Well, you get a whole lot of his sarcasm in the first two books, and so he likes the Barber of Seville except for the singing parts.
Oh, I do like him. I really do. I do like him. All right. This has been fun. It's been fun to find out how our books are.
Yes. What's coming out next for you? Because we are constantly on next things. So what's next? Right. What's coming out next for you?
My next book coming out is Night Falls on Predicament Avenue. That one comes out in April. That one is also dual time. And it's essentially about a house that has been the place of the only two murders that this town has ever known. One was in 819 something, and the other one is in present day. Sort of in present day. Her sister now owns Predicament Avenue, but the woman was, her sister was murdered, her twin sister was murdered 13 years prior, and they lived at Predicament Avenue. So Predicament Avenue is kind of one of those houses that you're just like, why? Two murders.
Yes.
Two murders. What is it about this place?
I'm sure you'll figure out a way to find a relation.
Oh, yes. Of course. Definitely. What about you?
Month after yours, Loyally Luke comes out in May. And so we have the third book in the Skamar series. Mm-hmm. And it's the unexpected romance of a man who has no interest in royalty whatsoever, possibly falling in love with a princess. It's my first royal romance I've ever written. And don't ask me how the idea of him, who is the most non-royal person I've probably ever written. He's a flannel-wearing carpenter.
You're going to ruin him for me, aren't you?
I hope not. He's staying pretty true to his character, but... and
do it, Luke. Don't marry the princess.
And we don't know if he's going to marry the princess. So that is the question. Neither one of them want to give up their lives. So there's the trouble. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
All right. Sounds good. So we've got two books releasing really about a month apart again.
We should
do something about that.
We should. They're not going to be at all similar in the least little bit, but we should probably have some way of celebrating that.
Yeah. I don't. I've got a few ideas. I wonder what it would be like if you and I were in the same place at the same time.
Oh. Wait, you mean not on screens in two different states that are very far away from each other?
Right. I'm thinking in one location for one night. With readers invited.
Oh, yeah. So that means if we invite readers, we can't have it in our houses because nobody could fit.
No, no.
So it has to be somewhere where we could fit people like readers.
Yes.
And hang out with us.
With a definitive smooches and stabs vibe.
Yes, with that. Yes. Yeah.
We would probably even
ideas?
Consider some fun, weird, silly games and things like that. I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
And we could do some question and answer, and we could we could just give away some books.
You know, I bet Baker Bookhouse would probably be willing to host something like that.
Do you think? I have never been to Baker Bookhouse, so I would love to visit.
I think you should on March 22nd.
On March 22nd. Let me clear my calendar.
March 22nd, 2024.
Yes.
Let's do a Smooches and Stabs killer event at Baker Bookhouse in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Everyone is invited.
Yes, yes. And we'll be there. We are not sure exactly what kind of fun we're going to plan for you guys, but you can be assured it'll be a nice mixture of fun and spine tingling if Jamie's involved.
Oh, absolutely. We might even have a ghost fly overhead. Ooh. No, it won't happen. I don't know how to make that work, but it would be fun.
I did research Pepper's ghosts, so...
Oh. Maybe we could serve little cookies that are called Pepper's Ghosts.
There you go. That sounds great. I love that idea.
I think that'd be great.
Little heart cookies.
Right. Does anybody want to volunteer to make Pepper's Ghost cookies? They're gonna. You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna make them out of ghost peppers.
Oh no, that would be the all, Jamie Joe.
That's
the Jamie Joe.
That's the Jamie Joe twist. Welcome to Smooches and Stabs. Okay, for those of you who cannot decipher snark and sarcasm to know what is true and what is not,
right.
This is actually the official announcement.
For both of you listening.
For our two listeners who are now going through marital struggles because they're arguing over who's right and who's wrong, this is actually an announcement. We are going to be at Baker Bookhouse in Grand Rapids, Michigan on March 22nd. For an exclusive first time ever Smooches and Stabs event featuring Pepper and Jamie in the same location being weird live.
So you get to see if this is really us or it's just a screen us. It is not AI.
We may
write about theaters, but we can't act. So
maybe we should sing a duet though.
Let's do it.
Let's sing a duet.
Recreate a famous song that matches Smooches and Stabs.
All right. So for those of you listening, go to your bookshelves, gather up all your Pepper Basham books, gather up all your Jamie Joe Wright books, bring them if you have them, or if you don't have them, even better, buy them at the store. And even if you have them, buy them at the store because we want to support Baker Bookhouse. So buy extra copies to thank Baker Bookhouse for doing this, because I called them and was like, hey, I'm going to come to Grand Rapids. Can we do something fun in March? And they're like, yeah. And I said, I feel like we should have somebody join us. And they're like, who would you choose? And I'm like, oh, that is a loaded question. And so I said, I would actually choose Pepper Basham for Smooches and Stabs event. And they're like, do you think she would actually come? And within literally 5 minutes, the entire event was solidified.
Yep. Yep. True that.
I think I texted you and said, you want to come on March 22nd? And you're like, yes, please.
I will come.
I will come.
No, and also for those of you listening and who might share this with other people who will listen, please in the comments give us some ideas about games you would be interested in. Give us some ideas about how we can serve you if you're going to come all that way. Mm-hmm. We really want to make this an event for you all.
Right.
I mean, we can have fun just the two of us because we do that, but it would be so much more fun to have a crowd. And so please give us some ideas of what you would like to hear from us besides a duet. Give us some ideas of what kinds of games you might be interested in playing that's related to what
and we that is nonviolent.
Nonviolent. See, I keep thinking you would be great at one of those murder mystery games, but I don't know if we have enough
fun. I wonder if there's, I don't know. We'll have to do some serious thought.
Yeah.
We'll have to do some serious thought. Cause I mean, and we still have to figure out the exact time, like what time is it at and how long it's going to be. It's not like an all day event. So don't get that excited.
Yeah. But we do want to provide time with you that, so it's going to be enough for that. And so So please share some ideas you might have of how we can serve you all. Besides, and, you know,
dream big. So we've got the date.
We've opened. We don't know what we're planning.
We have no idea what we're doing yet. We just know it involves Grand Rapids, Baker Book House, and March 22nd. And me and Pepper. So dream big. Put your wish list in the comments. Like, if I was going to come to Grand Rapids to see Pepper and Jamie, this is what I wish would happen. Because you never know. We could go, we could actually make that happen. And then cool things could happen. So this could become really exciting.
Yep.
And the event is in the evening at Baker Book House. It'll probably be evening. It will be evening. But anyway, that event will be free. So you can just come. And we will autograph books. Not that you want us to write in your books, but we will do that.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Because we're that special.
I think we should make it a twist, though. I think I should autograph your books and you should autograph mine.
Wouldn't that be funny?
And only the people who come to the Smooches and Stabs first event will actually have those copies. And then someday when we're dead, they'll be really valuable.
Maybe we should sign, but all the copies, and then people would have both signatures. And
that would be cool.
I think that would be neater because then they would still have the author's signature, but also the special extra.
And I'll sign mine with a little heart, and you can sign yours with a little knife.
Yeah, some kind of death.
Flip it.
Cross.
Or maybe I'll do a skull. You can do the kiss. Anyway, bring your kisses. Leave your knives at home. But come to Smooches and Stabs event on March 22nd at Baker Book House. Schedule it now. Save the date. Book your flight. Whatever you need to do, be there or don't be there.
Or pray for those who are going to come.
Oh, sure. You had to make it sound sweet. I'm just like, don't be there. You're going to be that way. And Pepper's like, oh, then let's pray for them. I sound so calloused and cold.
You guys know what you're getting on March 22nd, because this is us.
There's no script.
No, there's not. And whenever we got to be together at the Christie's last year, it was hilarious and the same as right now.
You do realize, and I noticed this later as I was remembering the Christie's, like we would be standing and then people would slowly start coming up and just literally observe us like we were a stand-up comedy show.
Really? I just remember this being probably a nuisance to anyone sitting around us while there were classes going on. I mean, we would have been the high school students in trouble for talking too much or thinking of pranks that we probably wouldn't do. Maybe we would do, but we were definitely having
We did get a couple evil looks, I think, on that one workshop that we were in. They're kind of like, knock it off.
Yeah, knock you two off. Are having way too much
fun. Like the throat slit symbol, like stop, you two.
She reads that kind of nonverbal really clearly.
I do, and then I just continue. That's my personality.
In defiance.
Defiance. And that's kind of a wonder I didn't like Les Mis. Anyway. All right, well, this has been fun. I think we will have fun. We do hope that you all have a very merry Christmas. Are planning on coming back next year with more episodes for Smooches and Stabs. And one of these days we will get way more consistent. But for right now, you get what you get. You don't pitch a fit. And but we will continue in 2024.
Yeah, and in adding to that, if there are certain things that you'd like to see for us to do in Smooches and Stabs, give us some ideas. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of things we can still find in history, but if there are additional stories you've heard about, or if there's a different twist you want us to take, we are all for that because we really just enjoy spending time with each other and you all.
It is true. And they don't all have to be mysteries either, or like death and murder, because you could give us a really romantic story and I can make it really bad.
She can, so, y'all. She can. It's a gift.
It is. It's a gift.
All right.
All right. Thank you all. We will see you March 22nd at Baker Book House. Be there. Go book your flight.
Thank you for joining this episode of Smooches and Stabs with Pepper Basham and Jamie Jo Wright. Find us at facebook.com/smoochesandstabs, on YouTube, and on your favorite podcast player.